You turn your Bible to the book of Psalm 85. Psalm number 85 in your Bible tonight.
Amen.
And of course, you know the verse that I'm going to if you know anything about the book of Psalms. A theme that's been on my heart for many years. The Bible said, "There will thou not revive us again,
Amen.
That thy people may rejoice in thee. Wilt thou not revive us again,
Amen.
That thy people may rejoice in thee." Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. I do thank you for the morning hour and the good liberty that we had. Thank you, Lord, for the good word of God that was laid upon the hearts of the people. I pray now for power and liberty tonight and unction from thee. Help me to preach, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart for tonight, and I pray that it'll sink deep into the hearts of God's people that are here tonight, including myself. I pray you'll turn us, Lord, to thee before it's too late. Give us revival. Help our land. I do pray for America. America's in grave danger tonight of God's judgment. And certainly, Lord, we need a revival in the through the people of God, with the people of God. I pray for that. I ask you to help those that are sick tonight, those that are away from us. Help them, give them what they need. Those that are facing surgery, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for the staff here and the workers here. Families of our church, bless them and help them, I pray. And I do ask you, Lord, for souls to be saved tonight and for God's people to find divine help from the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. David writing here, and he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I'm not going to try to preach around the psalm itself tonight, but simply just come right in on that thought. "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I don't think anybody can deny the fact that our church needs revival.
Amen.
And most places that I've been lately, in fact, every place that I've been lately, and that's not been many, but I've been to a few, and they're in the same pickle. They need reviving also. And somebody said, "How do you know, Brother Hall?" Well, the psalm tells us so. "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now, I don't know much, but I don't take a brilliant scholar of the Bible to understand what the psalmist is saying there. That revival will bring a sense of rejoicing in the hearts of God's people. Now, I'm just not talking about jumping the pews and carrying on that way. I'm talking about rejoicing in our soul over what God has accomplished for us in dying upon Calvary. And the church, there's no doubt about it, needs revival. I've preached on just about every verse of Scripture before 1996 when we had our meeting with Brother Elliot. I've preached on just about every verse of Scripture in the Bible dealing with revival. David said in one of the Psalms, "Though I walk in the midst of troubles, thou wilt revive me." A lot of people have the idea that because there's troubles in the church, that God can't send revival. But that's exactly when God wants to send revival. When the prophet raised that little dead boy from his deathbed, I preached on revival in a bedroom. And the fact that we need to have revival within the four walls of our church. And, I mean, over and over, I preached on revival just about in every verse that where it's mentioned in the Bible and some places where it wasn't. And, you know, I believe we need a revival tonight in our preaching. I don't apologize for that. Us preachers are human just like you are. And it's as easy for us to become discouraged along the way as what it is for those of you that sit in the pew. And to a certain extent, even more so, some of these men tonight could testify to that, because we not only carry our own load and our family's load, but we carry the load of the church on our shoulders as well. That may amaze you sometime, but it's an absolute fact. When I see you troubled or hear that you're troubled, I do my best, and there's you can't keep from it, from carrying that trouble in your own heart. And sometimes that burden can grow very heavy. And it will deprive us really of our meditation and study in the Word of God sometimes if we allow it. And that's why I say we need a revival in preaching. And there's not much really preaching going on today in our churches. I talked with Brother Aubrey Brown this past week. And Brother Brown told me, he said, "Preacher," said, "the thing that troubles my heart more than anything else in the world is not the people in the churches as much as it is the pastors and the preacher." And said, "I don't think there's many of them really want revival. I don't think there's many of them that's really willing to give up in their own life what they're going to have to give up to have revival."
Yeah.
And I'll say a little bit more about that after a while, but we're going to have to give up some things in our life if we ever expect God to revive us again, that we might rejoice in the Lord. And so I'd say that preaching needs some reviving.
Yeah.
There's not much preaching against sin anymore. We're not lifting up our voices like a trumpet. We're not showing the people their sins. As Isaiah said, we're certainly not preaching like we ought to on being witnesses and doing our best to win people to God. That's absolutely a fact. And there's so many areas in our life that preachers are not preaching on that we need revival. I won't say we need revival in prayer. I think that's very evident here, that we're certainly not praying like we should. And some of us are not praying like we once did.
Amen.
I can remember in my own personal life when I used to pray in Bible college, and it wouldn't take God long to bring the tears to my eyes and down across my cheeks, but I don't find it quite that easy anymore. I may pucker up a little bit sometimes, but I'm certainly not shedding those tears that need to be shed. And we need a revival in our praying tonight. You know, we need a revival in purity tonight, in holiness. And as I've already said, we need a revival tonight in our soul winning. I could go on and on and on the things that we need revival in the house of God. But I want to mention three things tonight, and I hope you'll pay close attention to what I'm going to say. And I may not be able to do anything but read my points, but because, like I said, I don't feel very in season tonight, to be honest with you. I don't think that the spirit of the church was in a real mood to feel very preachy tonight in the house of God. The three things I want to mention, and one of them is, when is revival needed? When can you look out over a congregation of people and really tell that revival is needed within that church? And then secondly, when is revival expected? When can we expect God? What is going on? What is taking place when we can really expect God to send a revival? I want to stop right there and say that I'm not talking about some emotional outburst. I'm talking about a real reviving in our hearts when God's people fall in love with Jesus all over again. I think that's the biggest sin in America today, is that God's people have left their first love as they had in the church at Ephesus. And didn't say we'd lost it, it said we left it. And I'm afraid that's an absolute fact. We have left our first love, and that is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and learning from Him and coming to the house of God and worshiping Him and honoring Him and adoring Him as what we ought to, according to what the Bible says. Somebody say amen right there. And so when is revival expected? And then the last point is really, what is revival? I'm afraid God's people are so confused on what revival really is. I think we've got the idea today, the mentality, that revival is when something happens in the world. When taverns begin to close, and beer joints are shut down, and things of this nature begin to take place out in the world. Well, I like to see that, but ladies and gentlemen, that's not revival.
Amen.
David said, Will thou not revive us again? Us again, that thy people may rejoice, thy people may rejoice in thee. So I want to say revival is not for the world. Revival is for the people of God. And I want to say this also, we're not going to change the world tonight. If you're troubled and grieved and broken down in your soul because of what's going on in the world, you might as well get used to that. I've got news for you. It will not get any better. I'm not crazy about what's going on with the sodomite crowd, and I'm not crazy about what's going on with those that are killing babies. I'm not excited about that. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible did say that it will come to pass, and it shouldn't shock you and I the way it has a whole lot of independent Baptists, because it's happening. And a lot of people can't understand why it's happening. I won't tell you why, because God said it would come to pass, and it will, as sure as God's prophesied it in this Bible, it will come to pass within this world. I won't say also, listen carefully now. God's not trying to change the world. God has never intended to change the world until He comes back. Well, you and I are not going to change this world, ladies and gentlemen. What He is doing in this world right now is calling out a bride for His Son. And it's our business to carry the gospel to every creature. That God may call out a bride for His Son. Amen. That's exactly right. God is not going to change the world through you and I. If He was, I'd become a post-millennialist. Now, if you don't know what a post-millennialist is, they believe the millennium. They believe that there's just going to come a utopia in the world. That the world is just, we're just going to win so many people to God, that the world is just going to get better and better and better and better, that everybody is all right. I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing wrong with that. It's a lie.
Amen.
The Bible teaches otherwise. Seducers shall wax worse and worse.
Amen.
And apostates and false teachers are going to wax worse and worse.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, sin is going to abound even more. And because sin abounds, the love of many is going to wax cold in this world. And we're seeing that happen today. Not only out yonder in the world, but in the houses of God. That's why I say God's people need revival tonight.
Amen.
We need revival, folks. No doubt about it. And there's some things that'll hinder us from having that revival. But when is revival needed? Now, hang right with me. Hang right with me. When is revival needed? I want to say, number one, when there is a want of brotherly love among Christians.
Amen.
And when I say a want of brotherly love, I'm talking about a need of brotherly love.
Amen.
When there is a want for it. In other words, when there is a lack of brotherly love in the church, son, we need revival. And I don't mean to sound like the fellow that used to come on at 9:30 at night, but I'm telling you, we need revival. Amen. That's exactly right. And when there is a want of brotherly love, do you realize that that is one of the signs of disciples of Christ, is loving one another?
Amen.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's what Jesus said to His disciples. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. I'm simply telling you, when things begin to get cold in the house of God, and our love for one another begins to grow cold in the house of God, I'm telling you, revival, hey, that is when we need a revival, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You know, I've been watching that, and I'm afraid I'm seeing that today.
Amen.
That our love is really, I just want to say this, and I am going to say it, whether you want me to or whether you don't want me to. It don't make no difference. But Brother Simpson's been doing some work for me. And he made the statement the other day. He said, Brother Hall, one thing I like about the church over there, and he broke down and went to crying. He said, one thing that I like about the church over there is the fact that when somebody in the church has a need, when they're in the hospital or have a need, he said, all the people chipping in and putting together food and meals and taking that to those people that need help, he said, hey, that is what I've always thought that a Christian ought to be like, is helping one another. He said, I like it because if somebody jumps on one of us over there, he's jumped on all of us. I said, praise God, that's pretty good. I kind of like that myself.
Amen.
Basically, when he said it, hallelujah. That made me feel pretty good. Amen. That's right. Some of y'all don't know why. I'll tell you later. Amen. That's right. But that's Christianity. A brother's helping out brother. We're not to look at somebody in need and say, be you warm and filled, my brother, and be on your way. But if we shut up our mouths of compassion to our brothers, how dwelleth the love of God in us? It's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. That's what God said. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We are to love one another. And I know what people out there say, oh, you're just a lovey-dovey type people and this and that, and you're a lovey-dovey type preacher, and all you want to preach on is love. But I'm telling you that the pinnacle of our salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is loving one another. It is charity, by the way.
Amen.
Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, we need revival when God's people. When God's people, when there's a want of brotherly love amongst God's people. You know that Paul said in Hebrews 13:1, he said, let brotherly love continue.
Amen.
Now, that tells me two things. Number one, that they must have had some brotherly love when he wrote that. Because he said, let it continue. And number two, it was in Paul's heart and his desire that things would continue now as they were then. And not just then, but all the way through the church age, he said, let brotherly love continue. And as long as we're here, this Bible is going to be here. And so that verse of Scripture is going to be here as well.
Amen.
Paul didn't want us to stop, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, when a church is in love with one another in a brotherly and a sisterly way, I'm telling you, it is hard for the devil to get in that church and defeat that church if people love one another like they ought to. Now I'm going to tell you, you know how strong a chain is? A chain is as strong as its weakest link.
Right.
Now I'm going to have to tell you how strong a church is, as strong as its weakest link.
Amen.
And if there's some old sore head in the church,
Amen.
Can't get along with nobody,
Amen.
Don't love nobody, can't get along with nobody, always fussing, feuding, and arguing, and carrying on, I'm going to tell you something, friend. It'd be hard to have the power and the presence and the joy of the Holy Ghost in that church. Because I'm going to tell you why. That grieves the Holy Ghost of God. And when God is grieved in His heart, I'm going to tell you there's not much going to happen in the house of God. You know what grief means? It means to pucker up.
Amen.
You ever see anybody like that? Come in, bless God, they got carpet burns on their lips. Amen. You ever seen a baby do that? You know what's the matter with them? They grieved in here.
Amen.
In other words, they're ticked. They're just a little upset in here. Well, that's kind of the way it is with God's people. I mean, that's the way it is with the Holy Ghost. He can be grieved because of the climate in the house of God.
Amen.
Oh, there ought to be a warm climate in the house of God.
Amen.
Now, I won't say this, and I know what some of you are going to think. Now, I'm not saying it to try to sound off color in any way. But I'm telling you, in the physical birth, there's got to be some warmth and love.
Amen.
Should be.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, in the spiritual birth, there's got to be warmth and love.
Amen.
You just, hey man, there's got to be some warm, tender, loving hearts in the house of God. Amen. For souls to be saved and for you and I to have revival. I won't say secondly. Now I'm trying to hurry. When is there a need of revival? Number two. When there are dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings in the church.
Amen.
Now, I don't have to tell you what dissensions are. I think you understand what it means to have dissensions. In other words, divisions and evil speakings in the house of God and jealousies. When people get jealous of something somebody else has or something somebody else has done. Now I'm telling you, jealousy is one of the grievous things that, amen, that we can possibly have in the house of God. That people get jealous because God has blessed somebody beyond what they themselves have been blessed by the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. God help us, ladies and gentlemen. God help us. Now you listen to what Brother Paul said. You've read this before. You can turn with me there if you want to. The 1 Corinthians 3.
Amen.
Paul said in verse 1, now brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. Somebody said, well, I want the meat of the Word. Has it ever occurred to you that sometimes we may not have the meat of the Word because you're not able to bear it?
Amen.
Because there may be jealousies and evil speakings and divisions in the house of God. And if there is, you're not able to bear it. That's what Paul said here. He said, because of your divisions and evil speakings and divisions, I cannot feed you with milk. You're a meat. You're going to remain in the milk of the Word as long as that attitude and that spirit is in your heart.
Amen.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. It's preaching time, I think. Amen. He said in verse number 3, for are ye yet carnal? For whereas there is among you evil envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And then they begin to say, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And they were divided on that. Well, Paul was my preacher. Apollos was my preacher. This and that. And friend, I'm going to tell you, come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We're seeing that all over the countryside today. People out there are choosing up sides on their preachers.
Amen.
One famous one down in the state of Mississippi, boy, he'll let you know right quick. He wants you to choose up and be on his side.
Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. Hey, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that there is a problem in our churches today because people are making a decision on what preacher is better than the other preacher. Hey, that's not the question at hand. The point at hand is, are we being obedient to the Word of God? And are we witnessing the souls out there? Amen. And are we loving Christ and loving one another like that Bible tells us we ought to? That's what ought to be going on. That's right. And there's divisions. Now, God help us. You know what a division brings about? It brings about a clique. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never liked cliques in the church.
Amen.
I've never liked this little group here and this little group over here and this little group over here. And if I see another paper wad fly, I'm going to fly a paper wad at you.
Amen.
Now, I can see things up here you don't think I can see. I think sometimes when we come to church and think we're just here because we just hear the man of God, hear what he is, and go home, do nothing about it. That's not why we're here, folks. If we're not here for the right reason, we ain't going to get anything from God.
Amen.
No, sir. But I'm simply telling you, hey, when there are dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings in the church, we're not going to have revival. And I want to say number 3, listen carefully. When there is a worldly spirit in the church, we need revival.
Amen.
A worldly spirit. Now, I want you to listen to one of them. I wrote this down, and it's in old blotted out ink, and I just barely could make part of it out. But part of it says, Bob Gray. And it says, illustration. And he said, a worldly spirit is found in more places than in dress.
Amen.
Now, I'm not minimizing dress standards. I'm telling you, I still believe that women ought to dress and cover up their nakedness.
Amen.
And they ought to wear loose clothing and not show every wrinkle and bulge that they've got.
Amen.
Come on in the house. And I think ladies ought to have long hair. And I think men ought to have short hair. And I think men ought to wear clothes. And I don't believe in mixed women. And I don't believe in all that mess. But I'm telling you, that's not the only thing that gauges worldliness in the church by. Are y'all listening to me? And I'm going to tell you what. If that is going on, there is worldliness in the church. But you know something? I read about the last church that is read about in the Bible. Have you ever read about that church at Laodicea? And this old Bible here is about to fall to pieces. I've had him for many, many a moon. Have you ever read about that church at Laodicea? In Revelation chapter number 3. And I wrote this down a long time ago in my Bible. If you don't get a hold of anything I've said all night, get a hold of this and you might want to write it down in your Bible. The church of Laodicea is the last generation of witnesses
Amen.
That this world will ever see. And according to this Bible, they're the most worldly people that ever lived on God's earth.
Amen.
And yet we're the last generation of witnesses this world will ever see. Called chapter 4, buddy, we take off out of here. Somebody said, now what was the worldliness in that church? Well, Brother John said unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now that's bad. But that's not the end of it. He said, you're not cold and you're not hot. You're just kind of mediocre. You're lukewarm. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, don't we see that today?
Amen.
You better believe we see it today. Just mediocre Christians. I mean, nobody really on fire in the prayer closet.
Yep.
Nobody really on fire out trying to tell people about God. Nobody really on fire in the house of God, laboring in the house of God. Oh, I'm telling you, we've lost our fire and we've lost our power. Come on now. And we've lost our praying power. Now I'm here to tell you because of that, we're lukewarm. Can I give you a little living illustration of that? Brother George and I were sitting back here in our office tonight. The choir was up here practicing. And they were singing a song that they had sang, the choir sang at least 2,700 times. You couldn't get on it. You couldn't get a hold of it. Now why? There's been other times that you've sung it. Brother George said, I've heard him sing that song before. And bring the house down. I said, I have too, Brother George. But I said, they sure ain't going to bring the house down tonight. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, why? Lukewarm. We're cold today and hot tamale.
Amen.
And that was their problem. That is the problem in the Laodicean church. But that's not their biggest problem. That's not their biggest sign of worldliness. Here comes their biggest sign of worldliness. He said in verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Uh-oh.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Now we're really getting into some worldliness here. When you say I'm rich and increased in goods, I don't have need of nothing. Boy, I'm telling you, America's that way tonight.
Yeah.
Thank God for wealthy America. If we don't have money, you know what our government says? We'll just print off a little bit. They don't have the gold to back it up, but they're going to print her off.
Amen.
They're going to put more money into circulation. They don't have a choice. I'm telling you, they do not have the gold to back up what's out there right now. It's time for Americans to open up their eyes at what's going on in our land.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, we're so ignorant, we don't care as long as we got them bills in our pocket. And don't realize that at the bat of an eye, it could all be gone.
That's right.
Be absolutely worthless. But they said we're rich and increased with goods and we don't have need of anything. What a tragedy. What worldliness.
Amen.
To think that the goods and the riches of this world outweigh the power and the blessings of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, the church, they can't compare. I'm telling you, what's in this world today, whether it be riches or power or prestige, cannot compare with what God has in store for them that love Him. I'm telling you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has got laid out up there. Brother Simpson said the other day, he said, boy, I was reading in the book of the Revelation, he said, I couldn't put it down. Then I got to reading about them gates of pearl. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. That's three to gold. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful? And all those jasper stones and sardine stones. Amen. And gold, transparent gold. I'm talking about transparent gold. You know what transparent gold is? Gold you can see through.
Amen.
Buddy, that's pretty rich gold. When it's refined so you can see through it. And we're going to be walking on it. Oh, what God has in store for us up there. And yet we think that a little bit of money down here and riches down here and little goods down here satisfies us. I'm telling you, hey, that is just a sign of worldliness in the heart of God's people. There has been men and women that have died without a dime in their pocket, that have given their life for the Lord Jesus Christ and their life for the church, and we're no better than what they are. Bless your heart and mind too. Amen. That's right. Now here's the problem. He said, they're increased in all these goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not. Now there's this, and they said, you know, the Lord said, you don't know. You really don't know that you're really wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How can a man be naked and not know it? Now, he's not talking about naked literally. He's talking about spiritually naked. Without the clothing of Christ, the clothing of humility, the clothing of righteousness. And I could go on and on in that. He's not talking about literally blind. He's talking about being spiritually blind. How can somebody be blind and not know it? How can somebody be poor and not know it? How can somebody, this is what gets me, how can somebody be miserable and not know that they're miserable? But that's what he said the church would be like in our day. They would be miserable and not even know that they're in that condition. We're there. Now that's worldliness, folks. That's worldliness. When we think what we can get from out there is going to satisfy God in here. I'm going to tell you what will satisfy God in here. If we can get from God what's up there and get it in here, that's what will satisfy God. If we can get Christ in here, that's what will satisfy God. If we can get the power of God in here, that's what will satisfy God. If we can get enough of the Holy Ghost in here, that God's people will fall under conviction, confess their sins, and get right with God, that's what we need in here. Amen. That's right. People, conviction fall, people get right with one another. That's what we need in here. Now, I will tell you something. You can like this or lump it, but if you're not right with your brother, you're not right with God. If you're not right with the preacher, you're not right with God. Amen. You cannot be right with your brother whom you've seen and not be, you cannot be right with your brother whom you've not seen and be right with God whom you have seen and not seen. An impossibility. If I said, finally got that out right, I don't know where I did or not, but you know what I'm talking about, amen? But how can people be miserable and wretched and poor, naked, and blind and not realize it? Then I won't say fourthly, now, when we need revival, when the church finds its members falling into gross sins.
Amen.
I hope we don't have none of that. I tell you what, we have been so fortunate here. I've been here 22 years plus. And to the best of my knowledge, there's not been a divorce case since I've been here. I thank God for it. You say, oh, that ain't no big thing. I believe it is. I think when God puts man and woman together, He wants them to stay together. Somebody said, well, I've already had one or something. Well, if you got another one, keep the one you got. It's not right to go back to the other one.
Amen.
No need to sin against God twice.
Amen.
Come on in the house, children.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that, hey, I'm hoping there is no gross sins. I don't think, I hope we don't have any. Any whoremongers in the church or thieves in the church?
Amen.
I hope we don't have any prostitutes in the house of God.
Amen.
I don't think there's any drunkards in here. I hope not. Boy, I'm talking about gross sins. I'm talking about sins that would bring condemnation to the church. I'm talking about sins. Come on now, I've lost some of you. I felt a cold breeze blow by my nose. Amen. When I hit on that marriage deal, I felt a cold breeze kind of come under my chin a little bit. And I'm here to tell you that the church, I hope there's no gross sins in the house of God. Then I want to say also, we need revival when there is a spirit of controversy within the church and in the land. I want to start out there. Have you ever seen a bigger controversy than what we're in right now? On the political front. Somebody said, you talk like a politician all the time. Well, that's part of the need. But is there not a great controversy in our land today? Oh, and it's about who's right and who's wrong.
Amen.
Who's going to get this done? Who's going to get the job done best and who's not going to? I'm going to tell you, they ain't none of them going to get done right.
Amen.
Pardon the language there. Ain't. That they ain't. They ain't going to get it right.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, there is a great controversy out there in the land today. Should we go to war? Should we not go to war? Should we go into Yemen? Should we not go into Yemen? Should we pull out of Afghanistan and Iraq or should we stay? Should we bomb Iran or not bomb Iran? Come on now, I'm talking about a controversy. And somebody says yay, somebody says nay. There's a controversy. Anytime somebody says yay and somebody else says nay, that is a controversy.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, when controversies get in the house of God, we got problems. When this little crowd says yay and this little crowd says nay and this little crowd over here says, well, I don't know. They ever run one of them surveys they run? Yes, no, undecided. You got a little bitty black line down there of those that's undecided. You know what they are? They're fence straddlers. That's fence straddlers. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to put on there, what I think's right. Amen. Better believe it. Now I'm telling you, when there's a controversy in the house of God, we need revival, folks. Well, is the pastor right or is he wrong? Well, he can be both. I don't claim to always be right, and I'm not always right. Well, almost all the time. But. No, I'm not right all the time, and neither are you. I don't know anybody's right all the time.
That's right.
That is one reason we're not to condemn our brother. Look here.
Amen.
We throw stones sometimes at our brother in the Lord when we've got, when we need to sweep up our own back door.
Amen.
Come on now, don't y'all leave me.
Amen.
Amen. When there's a controversy in the church and in the land. I want to say next, when the world triumphs over and reviles God's people. Boy, we're there. Just like in the days of Goliath and the Philistines. When those Philistines came out against Israel, old Goliath came out and said, send me over a champion that he may fight with me. Boy, and I'm telling you, Saul and his army stood back across the way on another hill and trembled in their boots when Goliath, every time Goliath come out. Now, I'm going to tell you, those worldlings triumphed over the people of God. The Midianites came up in chapter number 9, I believe it was. As the sand of the sea against Israel. And Israel was driven back into the dens and the rocks and in the mountain. And those Midianites would strip their land of the harvest and the crop that they had. Now I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going on today, only in a spiritual sense. Can we open up our eyes a minute spiritually? We are being robbed of our spiritual food because of what's going on out there in the world. And now somebody said, why? Because we're more concerned about what's going on out there than we are what's going on down the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe we'd get some red hot praying going on in here.
Amen.
I believe we could pray down the power of God and pray down the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. I believe it can happen. Somebody said, do you believe we can still have revival? I don't only believe that we can have revival. I believe we're going to have revival.
Amen.
Hey, stay with me a minute. I'm telling you, I don't believe the church was born on the day of Pentecost, but I do believe it was empowered on that day. Now, I'm telling you, God empowered it on that day and sent it out. And it went out in a flame of fire, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, I believe we're going out of this world in a flame of fire.
Amen.
A revival fire. Burning in our heart. He's coming back after a bride, a spotless bride.
Amen.
Without spot and without blemish. And boy, you couldn't say that about us today if your life depended on it. Praise God, I'll guarantee there's blemishes and spots on every stinking one of us in here. The Lord laid that shepherd. What would we do if the Lord really laid that shepherd's rod on our head?
That's right.
Have any of you ever read The Shepherd and Me? You ever read any books on the shepherd and his sheep? You know what that shepherd rod's for? For a lot of reasons.
Amen.
He can shackle them with that.
Yep.
He can break their leg with that.
That's right.
If they try to keep jumping the fence or jumping, you know, going leaving the fold.
Amen.
He can corral them with that and keep them in line with that. But I'm going to tell you, when they come through that gate going back into that fold every night, he'll take that shepherd's rod and stop that sheep, everyone in that flock. He will stop at the gate, ladies and gentlemen, and inspect them.
Amen.
He'll look at their little heads, see if they got any mites or see if they got any sore places on their head. Don't want no sore heads in there.
Amen.
And he'll check them for mites and all this and that. If they've got any of that, he'll anoint their head with oil. Are you listening
Amen.
To me? That's why David said, he anointed my head with oil. Praise God. Hallelujah. David said, hey, I might have some mites crawling around on me. I'm not nearly where I ought to be. Now, you can say amen or oh me. You're not either. You're not either. We're no better than David. But David said, he anointed my head with oil. What's he doing? I'm telling you, he's anointing his head with that oil, ladies and gentlemen, as a little sheep to take care. You know, they look in their ears. They pour that oil in their ears. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Clean that earwax out so they can hear better. That's what I think I'll start doing back there, checking y'all at the door and checking your ears for earwax. See if you hear a little bit better. Now, don't want the world triumphing over us. And I want to say, lastly in this point, when we need revival, hey, when sinners become careless and unconcerned about their souls.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what brings that about? Well, it's just like this. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, friend, in the days of Noah, those people weren't concerned about their soul.
Right.
Noah was a preacher of righteousness in the Bible. He preached to them people 120 years, yea or nay. Did he or did he not? Sure, he preached to them 120 years. Now, I'm telling you, he didn't turn that crowd in 120 years, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because they were unconcerned about their soul. That's just like the crowd that's living in this world today. You can talk to some of them until you're blue in the face, and you're not going to turn them to God. They're not going to come to church. They don't want nothing to do with God. Why? Hey, they're unconcerned about their soul. It's never so thin on them that they're going to burn in hell forever. Did it ever soak in on a man or a woman that hell's waiting on them? But it won't. Because they're unconcerned about their soul. They're unconcerned about their soul.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
God help that crowd. Now I'm going to tell you what. We don't have any Noahs today. But we got some men that's still preaching.
Amen.
We got some men that's still holding the bloodstained banner of the cross very high. We got some men that's still telling it like it is. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to pull no punches even if it's my family and my children. I'm going to tell them like it is, even if they're mine.
Amen.
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 But I'm going to tell you something. I don't want nobody else picking on them. Boy, that hit a tender spot, didn't it? I don't want nobody else picking on them either. May I say to you in here, if you've got something on in your heart toward your brother, the Bible is clear on how to settle that. Say, go to your brother and talk to him.
Amen.
And if he'll hear you, you've gained a brother. If he won't, take one or two more with you and let every word be established.
Amen.
And if he will not hear them, take him to the church.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says needs to be done.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what will happen. We'll get in a corner and go to gossiping. Go to talking amongst ourselves.
Amen.
whispering about things and talking about things that we ought not to do. And some of you young kids in here are just as bad as the adults. You've got your little crowd you're going to run with, and it's room for me and my four and no more.
Amen.
Ain't we having fun? Bless God, I am.
Amen.
Now, when is revival expected? This is going to kill some of you right here. It ain't already. Revival can be expected when the providence of God indicates it. You do believe in the providence of God, don't you?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I'll never forget 96, Brother Troy. I wish you'd have been here. Buddy, I'm telling you, talking about a meeting. We had a meeting in the church. Y'all was here. I've never been in another meeting like it in all my life. I knew it was coming. There were three or four men come in here every morning at 6 o'clock and met back in here and had a cup of coffee and come out here and prayed every morning for weeks. We'd have Sunday night prayer meetings after church. Go back in them back rooms and pray. And pray for God for sin revival. You could just feel something in the air. I mean, things were just changing. Something was going on. And I announced that Elliot Smith was coming to preach our revival. And my son came to me and he said, "Daddy, you're going to have that nut to preach a revival? Do you think we can have revival with him? Because I'm telling you, he was about as crazy as any man I've ever met in my life." I mean, you take a man that on the second night of his marriage goes in, his wife's in bed asleep, and he rams her in the back with a cattle prod, electric cattle prod, and she jumped plumb out of the bed out against the wall. So he ain't all there. You take a man that dumps 5 gallons of white paint on his wife, makes her stand in the back end of the truck, instead of going the short way home, drives all the way through town blowing his horn so everybody will see her back there. I mean, he ain't right. That guy ain't right. That guy ain't all there. But I'm going to tell you, oh, Elliot come in here and we sung one song, and on the second song, his wife sitting right back in here somewhere let out a war whoop, and I'm going to tell you, from that moment on, it was on, ladies and gentlemen. I've never been anything like it. We'd shout one night and cry the next. Shout the next night and cry the next. We had people coming down there, wasn't even Baptist. I'm talking about holiness people. Wesley and holiness coming down here in the meeting, wasn't even Baptist. Amen. And enjoyed the meeting. Enjoyed the meeting. I'm going to tell you, and I've seen some of y'all in here, some of you get right with God, some of you get born again in that, and guess what? You're still here. That tells me what happened was real. It wasn't a false. It wasn't fake. Thank God. Woo! Thank God. We need her again. Hallelujah. We need her again. Well, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I'd love to see it. But old Brother Ricky run that night and jumped up through the... I mean, he jumped from that platform in that baptistry. I'm not joking you. Come from back in there, turn around and said, "I just got saved." And he said, jumping that back, he said, "I won't be baptized." I said, "Brother Reed, the water's cold." He said, "I can handle it." I said, "Stick that plug." He stuck that plug in. I turned the water on. It's like ice. And he just stood in there. We got her deep enough. I mean, it wasn't all the way full, but we got her deep enough. I said, "I'm going to put you under. I've had to stand on your chest. We're going to get you baptized, huh?" Buddy, when we brought him up, it was on again. Old Brother Ricky was running around in here soaking wet. People was a shouting. I mean, it was all. You couldn't control the crowd. Somebody said, "Did you try?" I didn't try. I didn't even want to.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Why?" I'm going to tell you why. Because I liked it.
Amen.
Amen. Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen to God. We'd all get our minds on God and sit on everything else.
Amen.
Amen. The providence of God can point to revival. I've heard Harold Sittler say, I believe it was in 1950 or 51. He pastored First Baptist Church at Pelham, South Carolina. And said he wasn't seeing anybody saved. And so he told the church that we're not going to have Sunday night services anymore. We're going to come and pray. He said, "We're not going to come and pray as a church. The doors will be open." And said, "We'll come to the altar and pray. I don't want nobody talking. I don't want anybody saying I'm visiting. I don't want anybody saying anything to nobody. Just come pray and leave and go home." He said that went on for 6 months. He said, at the end of 6 months, he said, for some strange reason, one morning, said, Billy Kelly never did have a gift. Can you believe Billy Kelly didn't? If you knew Brother Billy, boy, Billy Kelly never had the courage to get up in front of people and sing. He wouldn't do it. And said, Brother Siler, God, Dr. Siler said, I got up that morning, looked back, and I said, God, Brother Billy Kelly's going to sing for us this morning. Said, Brother Billy kind of drew back like that and looked at me and said, come on, Brother Billy, it's what God said to do. And I think Naomi Burns got to playing the piano for him. And Brother Billy began to sing, I will not be a stranger when I get to that city. And he's, Brother, I've heard him say, tell him, he said, people out there in the congregation said they got to waving at me like that, that I got to waving back.
Amen.
Said, I've been a singing ever since, and they've been a waving ever since.
Amen.
Amen. And I've heard Doc Sadler say that 6 month prayer meeting, a little after that, we went to Greenville, South Carolina, and started the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And he said, the joy and the blessing and the power and what you see built around here, these buildings and all that belong to God, is a result of a revival that took place in 1950 in Pelham, South Carolina.
Amen.
And that was in 1983 when I heard him say that.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Revival don't just break out and then end, boy. There's some lasting results. Now, we're not still shouting like we used to. But there's still lasting results. As I said a while ago, some of these people got saved. Some of them got right with God. And they're still in the church.
Amen.
And some of them have been through some rough, rocky roads.
Amen.
They're still here.
Amen.
Been through some real trials, and they're still here.
Yes,
thank God for them. Amen to God.
Amen.
Are you listening now? We can expect revival when the wickedness of the wicked grieves and humbles and distresses the hearts of God's people or the hearts of Christians. Let me ask you something. What's going on out there in the world today? Does it humble you? Does it kind of grieve your heart? Or do we really rejoice? And I'm going to be quite honest with you. It just about infuriates most of us. If we see one of these poor, benighted souls walking around with earrings hanging out their ears and ball bearings in their tongue. I come home yesterday. I didn't come home. I'm telling a lie. Brother Chuck left, and I went upstairs and cleaned up. He asked me to clean up one of those bathrooms, and I did. And I cleaned up all the dust, of course, and I got to looking. I said, my goodness, I've got that drywall mud. Where'd that come from? I had it on my britches and everything. I said, I'm just going to take these clothes. I went in the bathroom, took him. Miss Hall was going to the store somewhere. I didn't know she was walking. I took him clothes off, put on some trousers, some brown trousers, and a pullover sweatshirt. And I'm sitting in there, and I get up, and my pants, I didn't have a belt or nothing on. I looked at it, and I said, honey, I'd be in style if I went downtown. Man, that's hanging real low. I mean, buddy, they was room for me and Brother Steve both in them birds. I don't know where they come from, but they sure was big, son. I'm beginning to think somebody built a house beside me. Not really. But I know where the pants come from. I bought them at a yard sale out here. But that's back when I weighed a little bit more than I do now. The reason they hang like that is because I've got such a gut I can't get them up over it. They hang down below the belt line. This all told me, said, pull them up. I pulled them up, and I'm telling you, I was the ugliest looking sight you ever seen in your life. Some of my gut was hanging out, and them britches up here about this high. I said, Lord have mercy, I don't go nowhere looking like that. Thank God to help me. I've got your attention a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, does that crowd out there grieve us or enrage us? Does it distress us or humble us? One reason it ought to humble us is because we're not that way. But don't brag about it. Because it's all a grace. Yeah, there's ever been a grace. Thank God for thank God for grace, ladies and gentlemen. Unmerited favor. Had it not been for grace, I'd be out there like that with my britches hanging down to my knees. Bless God, drunker than a coon. Amen. Brains in my ears and probably ball bearings in my tongue and in my nose and down through my cheek and everywhere. But hey, I'm not like that.
Amen.
Now, I'm not throwing stones at them. I'm just telling you, it's grace is what makes the difference in our life. It's that grace that makes a difference. Listen to what David said in Psalm 139 and verse number 21. He said, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee?" Now that crowd, you might as well face it. They're rebels.
Amen.
They're rebellious against God.
Amen.
But so were you and I before we got saved.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, like that little old pony that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on, that little donkey, donkey's a pretty stubborn animal. But when Jesus sat on him, he didn't even have to say, "Giddy up." That little donkey knew exactly what Jesus wanted him to do. And I believe he turned around and looked at him and said, "Hang on, Lord, we're going down the hill."
Amen.
Down the hill they went into Jerusalem. Now I'm going to tell you, that's exactly, hey, by the way, as old brother Billy, what's his name? Somebody help me. Down in Georgia. Huh? No, Billy Ball. Old brother Billy Ball preached on that message one night, said when Jesus sat on that donkey, said that donkey's a type of sinner, said that's one time that a sinner had God all over him.
Yeah, man.
Oh boy, I'm telling you, we need God all over us. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
sure we do. Amen to God. I'm about ready to ever run a spell up on this mountain tonight. Woo.
Yeah.
But David said that grieves him.
Amen.
Those rebels grieved him and humbled him and distressed him. And it's what it ought to do to you and I.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, people today, just about cuss somebody that's lost.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what we better do is remember where we were, friend.
Amen.
And remember what we were.
Amen.
We never remember where we were and what we were and where we are now. Remember what we could have been. Oh, my Lord, I'm telling you, when I look back at my life, I'm not going to stand up here all night and glorify sin and tell you all about my life. But I'm telling you, you wouldn't want to see my life like it was. I'm talking about a horrible creature I was. I ain't talking about you. I was a horrible creature when God found me. A rebel in my heart. Didn't care about life, death, you, me, or nobody else. But God, praise God on that Sunday morning. That's my where I was, a little old sinner boy. And by grace, He lifted me out. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Better believe that's right. I wasn't worth shooting. To be honest, since I haven't got out of the military, I've been shot at a few times. God spared me. I tell you now, you don't know the kind of man your pastor was. You'd probably run me off if you did. And if my wife tells, I can't run her off. I said, till death do us part. You know the other alternative to running her off. Well, I am, Brother Jerome. When revival is expected, when Christians have a spirit of revival prayer, when we really get down to business with God about praying, when is revival expected? When preachers direct their preaching efforts toward the conversion of sinners.
Amen.
I told somebody the other day, I said, I really don't preach much on the cross. And I'm going to tell you, you preach on the cross today, people look at you like you're an idiot.
Amen.
You know what most camp meetings and things want today? They want somebody to get up there and bust television and internet, and I'm against that. I'm against that. As sure as I'm living, there's some things on both of them that ain't fit for a human to see. But there's some things on the internet that's very enlightening. Sure are. I diagnosed my problem in my groin the other night on the internet myself. I'm Dr. Hall now. I'm telling you, I know what it is. I know what it is. I diagnosed it myself. There's some things on there. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that there's not much preaching of the cross You can go to camp meetings and you preach on the cross, and people look at you like you're an absolute idiot. You can get up there and preach on women and bullfighting, preaching the television set and all that, and they'll climb the walls and act like all the heavens come down into the meeting. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you what. That's one reason I know we had real revival, Brother Rick, in our little church. We had some, I don't say a full revival, but we had some reviving. We had a little revival. Y'all remember, I believe it was before the revival meeting, that old brother Skelton, Tim, is that his name?
Yes, sir.
Tim Skelton got up here, and we still got the tape. And he preached on Calvary. I never heard anything like it in all my life. I mean, it got plumb wild in here.
Amen.
We went plumb crazy in here, him preaching on Calvary. It ain't like that today. It got on so much now. I'm just telling you that Brother Doug Thompson come running up through here and leaped up on old Brother Skelton, and they just lapped around one another here on the platform. And Brother Doug turned around and took off. And when he did, Brother Skelton kind of walked away and fell down on the floor.
Amen.
And I'm sitting over where I always sit in camp meeting, you know. And I jump up and run over here, and he's laying there on the floor on his back. And I'm saying, pour it on him, Lord. I thought the Holy Ghost was all over it. I'm saying, pour it on him, Lord. Pour it on him, Lord. And his wife's sitting back there going. God wasn't pouring it on him. Doug Thompson almost broke his back. But if you've never heard the event tape, you ought to get it and listen to it. One of the best messages I've ever heard in my life on the cross. Wonderful message. I ain't quite done yet. Stick with me. We can expect revival when Christians begin to confess their sins.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I know what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, but I'm telling you, revival will begin with God's people getting right in their heart. Somebody said, why? Hey, you can't be humble with sin in your life. And you can't pray with sin in your life. We got to get that sin problem taken care of before we can ever take care of humility.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now. Before we can ever take care of those things in 2 Chronicles 7:14, humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. How are you going to seek God's face when there's sin in our life? We can't do it.
Amen.
Stay with me now. When Christians are found willing to make the necessary sacrifice, you can expect revival. I'm talking about making sacrifices. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The old crowd, I'm about done. The old gang would make us look pitiful.
Amen.
I think about old Nate Saint and them boys that flew in down there to the Aka Indians back in the early 50s. And I've seen pictures of their bodies floating in the water where the Aka Indians killed them. Later on, was it Nate Saint? Not Nate Saint. It was that other man's wife. What was that other fellow? Huh?
Jim Elliott.
Jim Elliott's wife went back down there. And the man that put a spear through Jim Elliott was gloriously saved. And that woman watched him, Elliott's wife watched him get baptized by the grace of God. The man that killed her husband. You think that don't take grace to forgive a native for killing your husband?
Amen.
And we can't even get along in churches up here.
Amen.
John and Betty Stamm, son, give their heads. Amen. They give their heads for the cause of Christ. They were willing to make that ultimate sacrifice to see revival brought to the Chinese people.
Amen.
They told John Sam after they cut his wife's head off, said, if you don't recant, said, your head will going to wind up like your wife. He said, I'm not recanting. Said, let it cut. He said, cut it off. And they said, lay it on the bar. And he put that down, and that big man come down with that axe and cut his head off. And they said his head rolled down over the hill and rested on the stump of the neck, looking back up the hill with a smile on his face.
Amen.
Somebody said, how could that be? He was already in heaven.
Amen.
Before that head ever fell from the body, John Sam was in heaven.
Amen.
I think about old Brother Roloff, 1982, went home to be with the Lord in that airplane wreck. I heard that in South Carolina, and I'm thinking I laid awake all night and wept and cried like a baby. Him and the honeybees had gone home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, He gave his life doing what he wanted to do. And that's to try to win people to Christ. To be a preacher of the gospel. Now I'm just about done because these points I'm going to hurry on. What is revival? Very quickly. Revival is conviction of sin on the part of the church. And I've already mentioned that. That is revival when conviction falls.
Amen.
On the people of the church. When backslidden Christians are brought to repentance.
Amen.
When Christians will have their faith renewed.
Right.
Some of you in here tonight, some of us in here tonight, our faith is certainly weakening.
Amen.
We'll have revival. Revival is when it breaks the power of the world and sin over Christians. Then revival is the lost will be saved. But we're going to have to do something in here before we can expect God to do something out there.
Amen.
Had one of the young ladies in the church has come to me and talked to me about going out and visiting people. And I've talked to her about it, and I told her that was fine with me. But I certainly hope that some people will go with her. She don't need to go alone.
Amen.
I'd hope that some men would go, a man or two, and but you never know what's out there today. I don't trust some of them people out there today. I try to love them, but I'm just beyond. I don't trust them. But I'm glad that somebody's taking an interest in trying to tell somebody about Christ. Somebody said, "Do you believe in screen door evangelism?" No. But I don't see anything wrong with witnessing, telling people about God.
Amen.
If you can show me a verse in the Bible where it's wrong, I'll believe you. But otherwise, I won't. We need to pray about that. She's going to start trying to see some people about going with her.
Amen.
Getting a scheduled date. Somebody said, "Preacher, my time." We talked about that this morning.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, the money's short." God can supply.
Amen.
If you don't have money, come and see me. I'll give it to you. I have to get it from Brother Ricky back there. He's got plenty of money. He's got the first dollar bill he ever made. Framed. So is his brother. Look at them shaking their head. No, they don't want nobody to know the truth about it. Robert Docker's got the first two he ever made. And Cater Nan's got the first four they ever made. And Steve Pleasant's got the first 100 he ever made. And Doug Bell broke flat in the fan case. Revival. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let's stand together.